Your boss is a member of the co-op.
Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so Sisa is a member of the co-op?
No.
Oh, Jennifer herself. Oh, because Jennifer Core, who we often do these segments with, is a farmer herself. Yeah. And so her farm.
Yeah. Haybell Farm in Warwick.
Yeah, that's great.
And they buy feed and supplies from us.
Yeah.
Have for years.
If I ever needed white leather riding gloves, cowboy boots, a tamp, giant hinges for giant wooden doors on my garage, pruners, Goshen Stone, this is the place where I come. And it is time for another Local Hero Spotlight with Claire Morneau from CISA, the Local Hero folks, and Jeff Bedine, who is the manager of what I think is one of the coolest stores in Franklin County, the Greenfield Farmers Cooperative Exchange.
Since we knew that we were coming here, you've been going on and on about how much you love this place.
I was like, Khalise, have you ever been there? It's going to blow your mind. Anytime I need like a quirky thing, I used to go to Acme Surplus in Northampton. You can't get like industrial strength quirky things there at that old store that doesn't exist anymore, but it'd be like, I need tiny hands. Okay, Acme Surplus had it. Anytime I think of like, what do I need now to accomplish this outdoor activity? I'm going to the co-op. Jeff, it's called a Farmers Cooperative Exchange. Can you tell us about the structure of how this store works?
Sure. We are farmer owned. We have over 1,000 members. They all typically have 5 shares of stock. We have a board of directors that are elected by membership to oversee the operation of the store, and we've been that way since 1918.
That's crazy.
Whoa.
Where did this idea come from? Was that like a popular thing for a way for stores like this to exist at that time?
Yeah, co-ops were formed because of transportation. So farmers would create buying groups or farmer co-ops and use the rail system to get their orders in. So this business was started in 1918 with $50. There was no store. I would call customers and not make a toll call. They made sure that the costs were low. Take everybody's orders. And then when we knew when the rail car was coming in, we'd call them, and then you would meet on that day, help unload the rail car. You'd help your neighbors unload theirs. And they made enough money that they could build a warehouse in Greenfield on the rail yard. And then in the late 60s, they moved to this location on High Street.
The move here, how did that change the daily operations for the pooling of resources?
So one thing that made it the ability for the co-op to move here is deliveries changed from rail cars to tractor trailers. In moving here, they became more visible instead of hidden on the rail track. You couldn't see the store from the road. From what I understand, I've talked to a few old timers. Members did not like the move. They wanted to stay there. And that was very important for me to know, because I actually had a special project from the board of directors to look for a new location for this store, build a new store. And that was part of my research, is to how did members like that. And they didn't like it, which is what I thought I would hear. But they did get over it, because when I asked some of my members that I could trust about building a new store, oh no, Jeff, don't do that. We love this store. So we're going to stay here and just try to make this a more efficient facility, because we're bursting at the seams right now.
As I mentioned, this store has all sorts of weird and amazing and wonderful outdoor agricultural related things. There's a glorious gardening section that I didn't even mention before. I've gotten tons of plants, super knowledgeable people helping out here. But you mentioned there's 1,000 members. What is the membership voting on, and what benefits does it have for people that are in farming to become a member of a place like this?
We're required by our bylaws to have an annual meeting every year to present our financial report to our membership. At that meeting, they also vote on the board of directors, which there's 9 of them. If we make bylaw changes, the membership has to do it. So when the co-op first started, it was only in Franklin County you could be a member. And at one annual meeting, they voted to get rid of that demographics and anybody, you know. So in Vermont, we have members. Connecticut, we have members. There's less farms now, so we broadened to allow membership to farmers that are not in Franklin County, which has helped the co-op grow. And then the members, I mean, they can just talk to me about products they want to see and stuff like that. We listen to them. It's their store. They're an owner.
But then civilians like me who like gardening and things like that can come and shop here too. Like the supermarkets that way as well.
We're profitable. So the members get the profits that we make off the members back. So we're getting ready next week to cut the checks for 2025, and we will send checks out for over $200,000 back to our members. My estimate is 95% of that comes right back into the co-op. They just spend it right back here. Mm-hmm. So instead of our profits going to Oregon or wherever, they stay right here local.
I want to ask about the products that you carry. Obviously, you carry, as Monty mentioned, a number of mm-hmm. things that are for home gardeners, for people who are just doing home projects, but you're also buying in agricultural inputs like mm-hmm. seed and fertilizer mm-hmm. and feed for animals, that sort of thing. What's mm-hmm. the balance in terms of how much of those different products you carry and how much of your business they make up?
That's an
approximately
awesome question. So our number one department is bag feed, agricultural feed, horses, cows, sheep, goats, llamas, alpacas, pigs. That's our number one department. And the neat thing about that being the number one department, anybody who has those animals needs shovels, rakes, dog food, cat food. They grow gardens, so they're buying vegetable seeds or plant starts from us. So that's our driving force. Our number two department is pet food and supplies, and that's mostly dogs and cats, but there's bunnies, guinea pigs, ferrets. And again, those people, they're homeowners, they're pet owners, they like to garden, so they work off of each other. And then the number two hobby in America is bird watching, which is also bird feeding.
Wait, what's number one?
Number one would be gardening.
Yeah, so oh, that's good for you guys. You yeah. got number one and two. So locked down. I thought you were going to say badminton or something yeah. like that.
Oh, God.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you could get a badminton net here, yeah. too.
So we try to have displays here that we have the largest vegetable seed assortment in Franklin in Hampshire County. I don't know of anybody who has bigger. Our bird section, I believe, is the biggest also. Bag feed, obviously, it's not on the floor. It's in the warehouse, but that's two trail loads a week. That's 44 ton a week that comes in the store. Sometimes more than that, that's going out every week. And we do sell farm seed, farm fertilizer, lime. And we also contract with local suppliers to have direct from the factory warehouse to the farm. So we deliver, you know, full truckloads of dairy feed to dairy farmers, and they save money by buying it through us.
I noticed amongst your seed supply that some of those are local suppliers too. How much of what's in the co-op is being supplied locally?
Yeah. So we've had Ox and Bo, I'm saying that one wrong. Ox and Robin.
Yeah. Ox and Robin. I've already used that joke somewhere. I must have.
I don't know if you have.
She's a local person. We've had her seeds for quite a few years, and it's nice because she has a different selection than the burpees and stuff like that. And now we have a new collaborative, and I'm not sure how many farmers, maybe five farmers in that. This year is the first year. We have that in there. Graphics are beautiful. They have different things. We're helping them launch their business. To me, I love that. As much money we can keep local, the better for our economy. The more money you keep in this community, the better for our fire, better for our schools, just better than it going someplace else.
And we're with Jeff Bedine, who is the manager of the Greenfield Farmers Cooperative Exchange here, High Street in Greenfield. What is fun is in it, they're not here right now, but they will be here shortly. You can literally buy baby chicks here.
Mm-hmm. We do meat birds, which I believe the deadline for ordering them has gone by, and then we do laying hens. Now, laying hens, we do first come, first serve, and we have two shots. We order 6 to 8 varieties of birds, don't know what we're going to get until they get here. Sometimes they send surprises, which is kind of neat, because then you try out a new bird, and you might like it. It's crazy. It's like going to the Red Sox and trying to get into Fenway Park. Like so,
except a lot more peeping.
Yes.
And they're so cute. You could hear them all peeping when they're here. Yep.
And we hope that people that buy them are serious about raising birds. We do get people what I call pretenders, that they just get caught up on how cute they are, but they're not ready, prepared for them, because it does take some work so that they remain healthy and can produce food for you.
And you also have feed, watering systems, heating systems, anything that you might need in order to get started with
chicks. Can you buy a coop here?
You can.
I knew it.
I prefer to work with customers on what's right for a pen for them. Say it's your first time raising chickens, you have small children, you want to teach them where their food comes from. I want to lower that investment so that you're more successful, because if you put a lot of money out there on birds, you're going to sour on it quick.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have a customer for 10 years than for 3 weeks. So I try to get people to think about what kind of structure they're going to do it. What I'd like to do is make it dual purpose. So garden shed, it works great as a chicken coop. And if the chicken thing doesn't work out, you have a garden shed.
Yeah.
Are chickens the only livestock that are sold here, or has the co-op ventured into other livestock sales?
As far as I know, we've only done poultry. We have looked into doing piglets, but I didn't have a safe place to hold them until they were picked up. In the past, I've had a license to sell game birds. I do not have that license now, so we don't do that.
Beekeeping equipment is here. You might not be able to get the bees, but you can learn how to be a beekeeper and get all the equipment here too, right?
Yeah, we do equipment only, and we will help you find bees. And again, it's so that we can keep them safe. Mm-hmm. We don't want to lose a shipment.
Also, it's cute if the chicks get out. It's less cute if the bees get out in the store.
It is actually not cute when the chicks get out. Not cute at all. Yeah.
Let me keep my imagination about how cute the chicks are. Go
ahead. I can imagine the cleaning that has to go on when the chicks get out. I'm so sorry.
There is a fair amount of cleaning.
It sounds like providing customers with expertise around how to get set up to raise birds, how to get started in beekeeping, gardening, that sort of thing is a big part of what your store is able to offer. You hire people who know a lot about these issues or do a lot of in-house training?
I look for people that have life experience, and it's a bonus if they have collegiate experience in it too. So I have Stockbridge graduates here, one in equine, one in horticultural. I have dairy farmers on staff. I have people that have raised sheep and pigs on staff. Former vocational teachers work here. I mean, that's how I learned, because I did not go to a agricultural school. I learned from my customers, my bosses, my coworkers.
All here? Because you've been here for a long time.
No, I've only been here 22 years.
Only?
Yeah. And I worked for other agricultural co-ops before I got here.
Are there others in the area?
Not anymore. So you know how food co-ops are doing very well right now, grocery store food co-ops. For me, that's pretty neat. But there's only three of us left in the state, and the other two have opened up their membership to non-farmers. So they're more consumer co-ops. They just specialize in agriculture. We are still just a farmer-owned co-op and not a consumer co-op.
My understanding is that the costs of production are higher in the Northeast and in Massachusetts for farmers than they are in a lot of the rest of the mm-hmm. country. And part of that is about extremely high land values. Mm-hmm. You know, just to get started mm-hmm. is very costly. But also the inputs are costly because we are not as, you know, heavily agricultural as parts of Iowa, for example. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a business like this is a really important piece of helping farmers pool their purchasing power and mm-hmm. helping them stay more viable.
You're correct on land. It's tough to rent, buy, keep. And then there's less competition. So I've had members be in Pennsylvania. For whatever reason, they're down there, and they find something I sell down there, and they're comparing prices. And because in Pennsylvania they have more competition, the price is lower. And I tell them to buy it to save them money. You're coming back anyways. You might as well come back and save money. And just close enough as New York State, fertilizer companies, there's a lot of more choices. Here you have two. We're lucky to have two. Is if we had one, that would drive the costs up even more. Mm-hmm. If you look at this store, Berniston Farmers closed, and then Smithland closed. Now, they didn't do much with agriculture, but they did pet. But the history of Smithland down there was agriculture. Here, it's not unusual to have Connecticut license plates, Vermont and New Hampshire, Maine, New York State in our parking lot. At one time, I sold more catfutches in Connecticut than I did in Massachusetts until I found a supplier down in Connecticut to handle the same catfutches I did. And again, the whole thing was to keep that dairy farmer's money in that part of Connecticut. It doesn't need to come here. It needs to stay down there. And I find when I take care of customers like that, they take care of me. But the non-member sales helps us pay the bills. The bird seed, the dog food, the potting soils and all that. Yeah,
licorice. Oh, you saw licorice down there. Yep. They have like our family farmer's milk down here. So sometimes I'll be coming in to get a bird feed or something. Yep. I'll be like, oh yeah, I do need milk anyway. So I'm going to get that.
And the neat thing is family farmer's milk buys from us.
Yeah.
So the money goes back and forth. And again, that to me, that's very important. Keeping as much money around here is better for everybody.
So it's the very beginning of March. Obviously, we talked about the chicks coming, which mm-hmm. is a big mm-hmm. excitement.
Mm-hmm. I'm not curious. The band.
Ready. Literal baby chicks. Mm-hmm. I'm curious just about what the coming weeks and months look like for you.
So March is a funny month. I can remember a March here where it was 70 degrees, and I thought, we're not going to survive. And then it snowed again. So March, if it's winter, it'll be like February. If the weather breaks early, then it's our busiest time is April, May, and half of June. So I'm ramping up with staff. We've tapped into Franklin County Tech. We do co-op students. I have one on now, veterinary science. In 2 weeks, I'll have another veterinary science, senior, junior. So they can help people with pet-related things. That's their expertise they bring. And plus, they're learning about the retail business in their educational background.
Public radio is technically non-commercial, but the Greenfield Farmers Cooperative Exchange has one of the most memorable advertising taglines and one of my favorites. Correct me if I get this wrong. If you feed it, seed it, weed it, hoe it, grow it, or mow it, they got it.
Yeah, and that came from Maggie Higas, radio family in here in Franklin County.
Part of the WHAI legendary radio family here.
Yeah, Maggie Higas, she doesn't work with us anymore, but she's still part of our family here.
And that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good.
Should we go browse? All right, you go look around and then give me an assessment of the stuff that if this were a shopping spree, you would take home with you.
Well, like, we're already at Ox and Robin, and all of these look really awesome. Heritage seeds, English peas, wood beets, black turtle beans. They're super, super pretty.
They still have cool boots and belts, overalls, vests, even toys. The other thing they have here that I get a lot, whenever I don't know what a gift to get for somebody, my wife says, get them darn tough socks. And they do have those here.
Which I have to remember to send mine back because they got holes in them.
It's like what L.L. Bean used to do. Wind chimes. Here's a wall of giant hooks and latches, like I mentioned before. This is where I got the hardware for my garage door.
The whole D section, there's really cool things in both of the local seed, but what I found that's really exciting for me is they have a couple of heritage collard varieties, and there's been a big push for southern farmers to keep their collard varieties because there's so many more than what usually ends up in your stores. Like, there's literal hundreds, and so there's been a lot of specific effort to save people's family collard varieties, and they have some.
Nice.
Which is wicked cool. Some were given to the Seed Savers Exchange, so you can get old-timey blue collards here at the Farmers Co-op.
And we're standing in front of the Hill Folk Seed Collective, which is another locally grown seed thing.
These beans are too pretty for me not to try to grow them.
What kind of beans are they?
They are Good Mother Stollard. They are this pretty, like, brown and cream sort of calico-y looking thing.
Nice.
And we'll see if they're tasty.
I found a walking stick that you could use as a short bow staff and a machete.
That seems very you.